Bismarck being pressured from behind by Justin Smith. They've got him. Justin Smith sacks him inside the 10.
Hi, this is Justin Smith. You're listening to 49ers Radio, the official podcast of the San Francisco 49ers.
What's up, everybody? We're back with another 49ers Radio podcast. Senior reporter Taylor Price joined by our associate digital editor Andrew Pentis. We have a break in the action. The 49ers are not practicing today at training camp, but it's been an impressive storyline filled 4 days of practice leading up to today's day off. So, Andrew, there's a lot to talk about. Two big injuries at the running back position. Opportunity for some young guys to step in and create some important roles for the upcoming season. There's a lot going on the defensive side of the ball, the passing game. There's a lot of storylines to cover. So when you look at the first couple practice sessions that we've had, two of which have been in pads, tell me about just what's jumping out to you from this training camp right now.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, it's just moving really fast. We're five practices in already. Today's Monday, for those of you at home. We have an off day today. The players are resting their bodies. But you mentioned the running backs. I think that is the biggest, big storyline of camp so far. Two guys have gone down. The 49ers confirmed that it's an ACL tear for Kendall Hunter. And then we're not sure yet on the Michael James, but he left the practice the other day. So we have to sort that out. We mentioned that on this podcast as a position of strength entering camp, and that depth will be tested. So that stuck out to me the most. I think it's going to be interesting to watch Carlos Hyde and see where he's at. And then you have Jewel Hampton, who probably didn't think he would be in this position a week ago.
Yeah, definitely. Carlos Hyde and Jewel Hampton have the opportunity, the license, and the ability, as Jim Harbaugh would say, to climb the depth chart and get on the 53-man roster. Carlos Hyde, we all know he's going to be counted on this coming season. Jewel Hampton, however, had spent some time in the practice squad the last 2 years, and he's recovering from some college injuries and sort of was working hard behind the scenes and now has a chance. And yesterday at practice, I was sitting there logging the passing plays and who was catching balls out of the backfield. It was Jewel Hampton and Carlos Hyde. So both guys have shown that they can be versatile running backs and as well as run inside between the tackles. Jewel Hampton has some shiftiness to him, and Carlos Hyde has got some speed for a big bruiser as a running back coming out of the Big Ten. So the running back group is – that's what everyone's talking about right now. LaMichael James, unfortunately, had this great window of opportunity to step in and potentially be Frank Gore's change of pace backup, something he did in 2012 in the postseason, you know, had a touchdown in the NFC championship game. Also played a big role on special teams as a punt and kick returner. And that's sort of the thing I'm looking at the most right now. When Michael James gets hurt, who's fielding punts? You know, who's out there catching the kickoffs? Now, kickoff is a little bit easier to a position to fill, but I'm looking at Parrish Cox or rookie Bruce Ellington, maybe wide receiver Devin Wiley. Those guys have experience. Could be an option to return punts, but you know, the wide receivers, Ellington hasn't even practiced on the field yet. And I know you mentioned it before, running back, wide receiver, that was the position of strength going into to camp. But the wide receivers, they're still looking pretty solid out there. And Andrew, you're out there watching practice with me. I mean, have you seen any wide receiver have a bad day yet?
I have not. We've saw some drop balls probably the first few practices. But the tight ends had their fair share of those. It's a deep group. I think you're looking at the team may have to keep six receivers to start this season. At the back end, you mentioned Ellington, and then you've got Quentin Patton, who I know Trent Baalke told reporters the other day that he's looking good from year one to year two. He didn't really get to play a whole lot in year one. He's a guy that's probably lost a lot in this discussion. So him and Ellington, that you're looking at, like, maybe those are your five, six receivers. The other position that is sticking out to me, we've talked about offense and special teams, defense, the cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh sort of talked about it this past week. He was mentioning that Tremaine Brock and Chris Culver are separating themselves at that position. But then it's a fight down the rest of the depth chart. What are you seeing out at practice from that group with all those rookies competing and then a couple returners as well?
I wrote about this yesterday. You have a red zone team period, And out wide to the right for Colin Kaepernick, you have Anquan Boldin, the veteran, the physical presence who just dominates. He's a grown man out there. And across the field from him, Dante Johnson, fourth-round draft pick out of North Carolina State, 6'2", 200 pounds, has some size to him and is not backing down from the challenge. So what happens next? Colin Kaepernick drops back, throws a little fade right up in the air, and Boldin skies up to the ball. Looks like he has it as he's coming down. Dante Johnson reaches in, punches the ball out, and that was a really cool thing to see. Dante Johnson not backing down from the challenge, going up against one of the top receivers on the team and holding his own. And Dante Johnson, a couple plays later, broke up a Stevie Johnson pass or intended pass to Stevie Johnson in the red zone, dropped an interception, had a ball. Kaepernick was sort of on the wrong page with a Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd ran a deeper route, and I think Cap thought maybe he was going to break it off to the inside, and Dante dropped the ball. So that if he would have made that play, I think everybody would have been writing about Dante Johnson yesterday. So, you know, if you're looking for an underdog in that cornerback group, I really like the way Dante Johnson is competing against these physical receivers. And one position group, which I know we don't talk a lot about because when you look at football, it's – catching the ball, it's throwing the ball. That just sort of dominates the eyes when you're out there at practice. But as Jim Harbaugh said, he likes to hear the plastic. He likes to hear the thumping. And who's thumping out there? The defensive linemen. This defensive line group, Justin Smith's not even practicing it. He doesn't need to. You know Justin Smith's roping and riding week one in Dallas for sure. And that's perfect because they're playing the Cowboys. But, wow, Tony Gerard Eddy, he had a pick yesterday. Their ball was bobbled, and he was there, and he caught it. And he's in the backfield, as well as Tank Carradine. As a second-year player, looks really impressive. Quentin Dial as well. DeMarcus Dobbs, you know, we don't even talk about DeMarcus Dobbs. He's so under the radar. And who's getting love from Jim Harbaugh? DeMarcus Dobbs. So Ray McDonald, you know he's doing his thing. Glenn Dorsey as well. I mean, this is just the names go on and on. And I'll just tee you up for this one. The British Olympian, Lawrence Okoye, not a bad football player anymore. Looks like he's growing as well in that group.
Yeah, that's what he said yesterday. He said he's hopefully a step above being bad. That's, of course, what he and Harbaugh talked about this time last year when he was playing football for the first time. He's a fun guy to watch. You mentioned those one-on-one matchups with Anquan and Dante. Getting to watch him go up against Joe Staley in practice is really a treat. I think for those of you at home, we are really fortunate to get to watch these practices with other media. And that's really what I keep my eye on, is watching one guy go up against another. Not necessarily in tackling drills, because they're not, you know, ripping each other down on the ground. They're trying to avoid injury. But when a guy's covering a guy, or when a guy is rushing another guy, as Okoye was doing against Staley, you really see that competitive fire, even though it is July. And we can't wait to get to August and September. But there's all these great positions, all this great depth. I think the defensive line, you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot like the wide receivers. How many guys are going to make this team? Do you add an extra guy on the roster to start the season? Very well could happen.
Yeah, that's iron sharpening iron, and there's a lot of there's a lot of machismo out there on the practice fields. It's, you know, you're facing the same guy every single day, and I'm sure as much as, you know, the Niners like having practice in their own backyard, when they get to go to Baltimore and see those purple jerseys, it's going to sort of turn a different switch of competition on. Every single day you're competing against the same guy. You might be mad of something he did to you the day before and you want to get a little revenge, or however it works out in football. I mean, the training camp is a meat grinder. I mean, you get some injuries, but you get the best out of everybody. You know, what comes through at the final product is a really good, hardened football team. And I think you've seen from Jim Harbaugh over the past – you know, three seasons, training camp is intense. They're wearing game jerseys. They're playing as if they're getting ready for the regular season. And the 49ers start out strong every single regular season. We haven't lost a week one opener under Jim Harbaugh, if memory serves me correct. So they come out ready to go. And I just want to throw this out there because you brought up one-on-one drills. And one-on-one drills are my favorite part of practice. If I have to think about a second favorite part of practice, I really enjoy in the quarterbacks working off to the side with Jeep Chris, the quarterback's coach, coaching intern George Whitfield has some cool drills that they're doing, and they seem to be having a little fun throwing these little competitions, these accuracy drills. The other day at 40 yards downfield, lobbing the ball into a sort of a glorified basketball hoop, as I described it in my practice recap. But every single day they're doing something different, and it's competitive. You know, you want to see Colin Kaepernick be that competitive guy, and sure, he wants to win every single thing, and there's five guys, so it's hard to win if there's four or five guys out there competing every time. Even Jim Harbaugh got in on the act. He tried to throw one down the net, and nobody was able to do that. I was hoping that Harbaugh would show up, just one and done it, mic drop it, but that didn't happen. But let me ask you, Andrew. We've seen all these practices. There's so much going on the field. It keeps you occupied. You have to be looking at every single thing. There's no time out there to sort of have a dull moment. I mean, there's always something going on. So tell me, from what you're seeing out there, what is the most enjoyable, entertaining portion of practice in your perspective?
Well, you mentioned two of my favorites. I would also go with the team drills. You're getting to see actual plays happen. There's not tackles being made necessarily. The defenders are wrapping guys up to sort of practice what their target is to the ball. But you're getting to see Colin Kaepernick look at a defense that has Patrick Willis on it, which is very cool. Team drills, I would guess. I haven't talked to a whole lot of players about this, but I would guess that's their favorite part of practice. They're getting to actually play football 11 on 11. And you see that a little bit on 7 on 7 without the linemen. But there's nothing quite like watching Colin Kaepernick try to thread a pass to Bolden through maybe Eric Reed or Bethea in the defensive backfield. It gives you that little bit of a taste of the season. And we're still in July. We're only five practices in. But it is nice to get that little taste.
Yeah, Kaepernick's looked pretty sharp. I mean, this, and I always tell people, they ask me how's Cap doing it in practice, and you know, it really doesn't suit Cap's game, because when he's at his best is when he's able to freestyle and sort of break out of the pocket, get up the field. These practices and these training sessions are geared to have him work as a pocket passer, and he's doing a great job. Saturday's first padded practice, he finished the day with 7 straight completions. He's just hitting all these different targets. I mean, it's not just he's feeding the ball just to Vernon Davis or Anquan Boldin. I mean, he's getting it to Stevie, to Brandon, to Crab. Vance McDonald's made some nice plays. So Cap's spreading the ball, looking sharp from the pocket. But once, you know, those blitzers or those unaccounted for rushers are at his face in Dallas and beyond in the regular season, Kaepernick's going to use his legs and make some plays and sort of freestyle as a quarterback. And that's really when you get to see the true artistry of Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback. So really like what he's doing right now. And I'd also want to throw out Blaine Gabbert. You know, didn't really know what to expect with him. I know the 49ers traded for him, so they obviously saw somebody who was a first-round talent coming from the Jacksonville Jaguars, a guy with some untapped potential. And I think we're seeing that. Jim Harbaugh, all these quarterbacks working well together, and Blaine Gabbert looking solid. Had 2 touchdown passes yesterday I want to bring to attention. One to Vance McDonald, and he threw that before Vance really turned on his route. And that's just good timing, good understanding of the offense, and confidence. You know, I'm going to fit this ball into this window, and he wasn't late with the throw. And the other one was to Brandon Lloyd. I want to say Stevie knows. Brandon Lloyd on a post. That was a nice sort of deep end zone route. That was a nice one from Gabbert. So Gabbert's a guy that I'm looking at. I want to see how he continues going into the preseason. Those will be important reps for him, because you know Colin Kaepernick's not going to be playing too much in the preseason. Gabbert's going to get a lot of reps to evaluate and see where his game is right now at the Niners. So, Andrew, give me a guy, sort of a second-tiered guy, someone who's sort of working behind the scenes, who we're not talking about all the time in the headlines. He's not getting all the love, but maybe someone that's caught your eye as a backup or potential moving up the roster depth chart, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of options. I would say Chris Cook. He's not maybe too much behind the scenes. Fans are starting to get to know who he is, but he came over this offseason from the Minnesota Vikings, and he's not just competing for a backup spot. I think he wants to be a starter. As we mentioned, Brock and Culliver are separating themselves at that position. But Cook just stands out, doesn't he, at practice?
Yeah.
He's big man.
Yeah, he's bigger than all the safeties on the team.
Yeah, he I don't know if it's a – he's got a long neck. I don't know if I can say that.
You can say it. Yeah, it's okay. We're in the tree of trust.
He just looks tall. And so you want to see him match up against some of the 49ers' bigger receivers, a Crabtree. And Cook is a good story, too. He was a high draft pick. He's 4 seasons in and has not recorded an interception in the NFL. You know that's got to be bugging him. You know he wants to start here and be a big-time contributor, because he just hasn't had that winning tradition that the 49ers have here and the Vikings are lacking in Minnesota. So he's a guy I think is a cool story. And if you watch him, he looks like he's really invested and really competing each snap, wants to ascend up the depth chart.
That's a good call. Yeah, Chris Cook is getting a lot of opportunity, especially yesterday on Sunday's practice. The first team quarterbacks didn't take a ton of reps. Frank Gore, he was chilling, didn't do too much either. So a lot of these players are getting some reps. The younger players are getting reps to take the burden off these starters. You don't want to sort of risk injury too much. You know, it's going to happen. It's part of training camp. It's part of the game. One more guy I want to give a little love to, right guard Joe Looney. It's an important position right now with what's going on with Alex Boone. You know, not too much is being said about that situation because the 49ers' policy is to sort of let that business take care of itself and not really stress too much on another man's business. So we won't do that here. We'll talk about what's happening on the field. Joe Looney at right guard did a nice job yesterday. He did give up one pass rush, I did see, but that was to Tony Girardetti, who, in my opinion, is having a stellar camp at defensive tackle. So I can't get too down on one play, but if you listen to what Jim Harbaugh said, he had a couple wow moments in practice this week, pulling around the right edge, some athleticism, doing some nice things from his right guard position. Just excited to see Joe Looney get an opportunity to potentially play at right guard. If we don't get Boone back in time for the regular season, we know that Joe Looney's been hardened through training camp, building up a callus. I love these Harbaugh-isms. And just to give a little shout-out to Andrew, last year's, you know, some articles are so good, you just got to keep them going. So do you speak Jim Harbaugh? If you haven't read this article on the 49ers website, do a quick Google. Do you speak Jim Harbaugh? I don't think anyone else has used that headline before.
I don't think so. That's why we went with it.
Yes. So you read that article, get familiar with your Harbaugh-isms. And there's been plenty already this year that are sort of being reborn, like the coming out of the womb and all these fun things that Harbaugh likes to say. So long story short, Joe Looney looking solid at right guard, getting a lot of opportunity there. That's a good thing for the 49ers because you never know. Jonathan Martin as well, right tackle. If Anthony Boone goes down, Joe Staley goes down, these guys are getting the reps that they need to step in the regular season if something happens. So a lot going on. There's really no time to even have a personal life. You know, this is 8 days in a row, and we'll be going all the way through the weekend. I know you'll be covering the big Quakes game. You know, you got Clint Dempsey and the Seattle Sounders. Yeah, I sound so knowledgeable right now, but the Sounders are coming into town. It's a rivalry game. You know, it's just like Seahawks and Niners, but it's MLS style. So, Andrew, give us a taste of what fans can expect. They're coming into the stadium for the first time. It's the first event, and tell us about just the big spectacle that is MLS soccer coming in town. It's a big deal.
It is. It is Saturday, 7:30, and that is obviously the next time that the football team will have a day off because all the focus will be on Levi's Stadium. You mentioned San Jose Earthquakes hosting the Seattle Sounders Football Club. There will probably be a little too much blue in the stands for 49ers taste, given the team colors. But I think actually tickets are still available if you want to catch up soccer. Are you going to head over there, Taylor?
I'd like to. I'm going to do my best. I know that Clint Dempsey is an amazing soccer player, and I'd like to see him in person. It's on my bucket list. So I'm going to do my best to get over there. I know there's a lot going on with the football team, a lot of articles to write. I know that the Levi's Stadium content and all things Levi's Stadium is in good hands with you, Andrew. I know you cover that real well.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching Clint Dempsey too. You also have Chris Wondolowski, who had a tough end to the World Cup.
Oh, why'd you got to go there?
Too soon. Well, this will be his rebirth on Levi's Stadium field.
I see what you did there.
I know the 49ers fans, the Quakes fans that are going to be at Levi's will welcome him. And he'll have this maybe will be his big night. So that'll be nice to see. As I said, I think tickets are still available. So head on over. It's the first professional sporting event at the new home of the San Francisco 49ers. Something to keep us busy until the 49ers are going to have their open training camp practices and eventually first preseason game on August 17th versus the Denver Broncos.
Boom. There you have it. Come out to Levi's Stadium. Get a feel for it. Take a look at the amazing sight lines, the amenities, the food. Try some of those vegan hot dogs that everyone's talking about. I'm telling you, man, it's a big deal. if you see Andrew roaming the crowd, he's going to be talking to some fans. So make sure you say hello, name drop that you heard about the 49ers radio podcast. You heard about the event, that you heard Andrew was going to be around. Go give him a shout out. Get you a video bomb, you know, get on his segment, you know, give him a hard time. It'll be fun. So we got a lot to cover right now. Training camp. There's no time to rest. There's no time to take a breather. We have full steam ahead. We're getting ready for week one in Dallas against the Cowboys. That rivalry still in my mind, still in my childhood growing up watching all those games with Steve Young and Troy Aikman and the cast of characters. So it's been a good time rapping with you, Andrew. I think we have a lot of football conversations to come up. So we'll keep these podcasts going. And if you guys have any questions, make sure you follow at Andrew Pentis on Twitter, at TaylorPrice49 on Twitter. And we'll be sure to get to any topics that you want in these upcoming podcasts. So thanks again for tuning in. And make sure you check us out on iTunes. If you check out 49ers Radio on iTunes, it'll make somebody really happy upstairs. That's our boss. All right. So for one last time, it's been a pleasure yapping with you guys. It's Taylor Price and Andrew Pentis. And we'll see you soon.